Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everyone. This is Jeff Salkin again for Eye on the Community. We have two very special guests joining us in studio for Eye on the Community. Steve Hunt is president and publisher of the Daily Press newspaper, which serves the Victor Valley geographic region. Steve is a 15-year resident of the Victor Valley High Desert, and he's been in the newspaper industry for 44 years, an expert, about 5 years at the Daily Press. And we also have Michael Stevens, who has held several positions in key agencies in the criminal justice system, including the San Bernardino County Probation Department, the Sheriff's Department, District Attorney's Office as supervisor in the witness assistance program, victim witness assistance program, and many other departments. He's currently coordinator and founder of Citizens for a Safer Community Coalition and is spearheading the effort to let communities know that October is Crime Prevention Month, and that's why we are here in studio at this moment. Welcome, Michael and Steve.
Well, thank you, Joe. Thank you for having us, Joe.
You're most welcome. Our segment today is designed to discuss a very important topic that impacts every single person listening to Eye on the Community now, and to audiences who will be able to hear this in an audio podcast available after the show runs. And that's October's Crime Prevention Month, and what can we do to help ourselves become more safe in the world we live in today? Before we start, I'd like to ask Michael and Steve to introduce themselves and let our listeners know a little bit more about their background and why they've chosen safety awareness as an important topic for families and residents of California to be aware of. Michael.
Well, I've been a High Desert resident since 1975. And as you indicated, I've worked around several number of criminal justice agencies. But the one in particular that gave me the most background to prepare me for speaking to this subject today was my 4 years as a crime prevention officer with the San Bernardino County Sheriff's Department. Even though I left some time ago, it still has concerned me for years that people just aren't taking it serious enough that they have to do something to make sure they lower, reduce their risk of becoming a victim of crime. And I think that when you talk about crime prevention, it's like talking about death and dying. People don't like to talk about death. They don't like to talk about funeral arrangements, where they're going to be buried. They just don't talk about it, even though they know it's going to happen to all of us. With crime, there's no guarantee that we'll become a victim of crime, but I think every one of us is vulnerable of becoming a victim. But it's not something that people want to talk about until such time that they have become a victim. So this interview today, my goal would be to try to get people to stop, take a pause, and realize the fact that all of us are vulnerable, and at any given time, any of us could become a victim of crime. So what can we do, and not just what, but why? What can we, and why should we do something to lower or reduce, if not prevent, our risk of becoming a crime victim? So my background in the criminal justice agencies I work for, including the Gangs and Drugs Task Force, I think have given me an insight that the average person doesn't have. And I want to take advantage of my time to be able to say, not to alarm people, but to let people know there's cause for concern because of what's happening in California and in our region of Southern California. So that's my reason for being here today. So thank you so very much for allowing
Welcome
me to be
aboard.
Part of the program.
And Steve.
Thank you, Jeff. I've grew up in California, been in the newspaper business for a long time. I've lived up here in the High Desert in Hesperia and Apple Valley for the last 15 years. You know, it's funny, but looking back, my introduction to crime and everything that goes along with it was my first reporting job in this business, and that was as a police reporter. So I had to go out and collect information on the crimes that were going on
really?
In Pasadena and Alhambra and the San Gabriel Valley. So I became intimately aware that there was a lot more crime out there than I had any knowledge of previously, and then worked with some of those officers and some of the other police officials to report on those crimes and to try to make a difference in the community. And actually, I think to this day, one of the biggest jobs of newspapers is to let people know about what's going on crime-wise in their community, to keep them informed and to help them not only to reduce their risk, but also just be aware of what's going on out there, right, the trends and things like that.
One of the things that we were talking about before we actually started recording today's segment was that criminals are becoming more brazen today. It's not that a criminal hasn't been brazen in the past. There just seems to be more of it. Can both of you address that reality? I think most of our listeners and our audiences would be aware of that, but maybe not to the extent that they could or should be.
Well, one of the factors I believe that's contributing to that is in the state of California in the last several years, there have been several bills that have been passed by the legislature and several propositions passed by California voters. And what these actions the effect of those actions have been, there's less accountability for criminals and there's minimal consequences for the crimes that they commit. And the criminals know this. So crimes that were once felonies are now misdemeanors. Time where you used to spend either in state prison, you spend it in county jail. County jails are so crowded, you're getting given a site release and turned loose. So the criminals know this. So they're becoming more brazen. They know that the pendulum is shifting away from victims' rights to criminals' rights. And because of that, they are just acting with disregard and doing whatever they choose, but being careful not to go too far. For example, these crimes that were once felonies are now misdemeanors as a threshold, a dollar threshold, $950. Anecdotally, I've never seen it, but I've heard stories even given by our sheriff where criminals are going into retail establishments, stealing with having calculators,
really
not stealing more than $950 because they would become a felony. And that the retailers themselves are not even prosecuting. They're just basically saying, give us back our merchandise, because if we prosecute, now we have to take a staff member, has to go to court, forget it. Let's just. So what this is doing is making the criminals then say that, well, what the heck? If no one's going to do anything to me for doing what I've done, I will continue to do it.
Or criminals have smartphones also.
That's right. And like I said earlier, that we're not trying to alarm people to make them think that crime is rampant. I don't think crime is not rampant. But I think criminals are becoming more brazen because they know that the jails are crowded, the prisons are overcrowded. There's a movement in California, prison reform. That's why a lot of these actions are taking place under the guise of prison reform. But the end result is that more criminals are being either let go, not incarcerated, and ones who have been incarcerated are being released because the prison population is too high. So, yeah, criminals are becoming brazen, but that's all the more reason why I think we're having this conversation today, to hopefully suggest to folks that you really need to do something to take, we, not you, we need to do something to take responsibility for our personal safety and security. And I hope as the interview progresses, we can talk about what are those some things that we can do. But the key message is that, folks, we've got to do something more to lower and reduce our crime risk, because the criminals are out there. And they're going to take advantage of us if we allow it to happen. But we have a way to be able to change that.
Steve, let me ask an industry question. I do address what your thoughts are about the criminals becoming more brazen. Because of your position in the print industry and your experience from what you just explained to us, people sometimes blame the media.
They do.
When making a crime scene appear to seem worse than it is. As a member of the media, can you tell our listeners a little bit more about that and how we really need to engage with receiving media stories that are trying to be thoughtful about events that have happened?
Yeah, you know, it is a criticism that we receive, not probably as much as the broadcast media. I mean, you hear the slogan all the time, if it bleeds, it leads, you know, for TV news. And there's some truth to that, but I think more than that, really all media outlets are just trying to inform people, you know, and the bigger the crime, whether it's a murder or a shooting or something like that, you can't really ignore that. You can't not tell your readers or your viewers or your listeners that these things are going on. We certainly don't try to hide any kind of crime like that. On the other hand, though, when people complain to me personally that, you know, we run too many crime stories in the paper, the first thing I always say is, you know, we only print a fraction of the crime that's actually happening.
I'll be darned.
You know, if I had, you know, all of my reporters doing nothing but working on crime stories, believe me, they could do that.
Wow.
You know, there's that much crime out there. But, you know, we don't do that. And I frequently remind them that I don't want the Daily Press to just be a crime sheet. You know, we want to report on the good news happening in the community, the big events that are happening in all of our cities, the political news that's out there. There are a lot of things that are good that are happening in our communities. Unfortunately, crime is one of those negative things, and you really can't ignore it, and I wouldn't ignore it. I think people in general want to know what's going on in their communities, whether it's good or bad, and I wouldn't be so of that position that I would just try to hide things from people.
Some people believe that the more people know about crime, the more that they actually go from what I call being unconsciously aware of what they know to consciously aware, that they're more likely to take action to reduce their risk. Is that something that you agree, disagree with?
I think that's true. You know, I think that as we become aware of the things that are going on in the high desert, that people are a little bit more careful about what they're doing out there. They're taking more proactive steps to protect themselves from becoming victims. I mean, as myself personally, I've been a victim of several crimes. Had a car stolen. I've had other things stolen from my property. You know, never had any assaults or anything like that happen to me. But I know as soon as you have something taken from your yard or from your home or your car stolen, you become a little bit more aware of, you know, there are a lot of criminals out there, and some are crimes of opportunity and some are crimes of, you know, drug addicts that are trying to get a fix and need to sell something. So, you know, you just take those into consideration and try to protect yourself.
See, I have a different approach. I believe that the more people know and hear about crime, they become desensitized because they hear it so much. And I think what we're dealing with, too, again, the reason for this program is there are a lot of people out there who have become very complacent. They somehow convince themselves, oh, wow, that happened
apathetic.
Last night. It won't happen to me. Well, that's part of it. Complacent, believing that somebody else will address the issue, or they may have become apathetic. They just don't care. It's like nothing I can do is going to make a difference. So when you combine those two, folks who are complacent and apathetic, I don't think it's enough to motivate people to say, okay, I'm going to do something. And only until such time they become that victim. As long as it's down the street, the other neighborhood, another neighboring community, people just hear about crime, they read about it, and they think, oh, that's terrible, and they move on. But as soon as it happens on their street or to them personally, now they're vitally interested and they want to know, what can I do? It's the same with Neighborhood Watch. Talk to any crime prevention person. It's like pulling teeth to get people to organize a Neighborhood Watch program. But let there be a crime on their neighborhood, they're banging down the door at the police department wanting to know, how do we get a Neighborhood Watch program going?
Yeah, how many times do we hear or see when a crime has happened in a particular neighborhood where somebody being interviewed is telling the media that I never thought that was going to happen here,
right,
or I never thought this was going to happen to us. And we're not in this segment encouraging people to be fearful, just to, you know, how do we become more aware? How do we watch, which is the theme of October's Crime Prevention Month for these series of conversations out for ourselves? You know, what actions can we take as individuals, as citizens, as residents in our communities throughout Southern California? What do we need to do to be more safe?
Well, I think the great thing about the world we live in right now is technology is so improved compared to just, you know, 10 years ago, that there are all kinds of things that you can do for relatively, you know, low amounts of money. You know, you talk about video cameras. It's quite easy to get a good video camera or a system of video cameras for your property now. One of the things I've noticed in the last couple of years, there's a couple of different doorbell video cameras that you can now use that have come way down in price. And that one thing alone, if you just installed one of those on your front door, would probably protect you from a lot of the mail theft and the package theft and things like that that's going on. But there are all kinds of different things that you can, you know, for as low as $10, you know, pick up at local retailers that can help you be alerted when people are coming onto your property or things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And another great thing that really doesn't cost a lot other than food and water is a dog.
And that would make everybody happy.
Yeah.
Our son just got a doggy. Makes us very happy.
You know, Jeff, we have an alarm. We have cameras. We have timers in our house on our lights going on and off at different times. We have music. Because if a crook was to come to my house, now he or she has to make a decision. Is someone home at that house? Or do I go to another house that looks empty? I don't hear a dog. I don't hear a radio. I don't see a light on. know, so simple things, because a lot of people, I believe, from my experience, they become victims of crime because of several things: carelessness, negligence, in some cases, stupidity. They just don't take those necessary precautions. And I always encourage people, and I encourage the listeners now, do your own personal assessment. You know, walk around your house. If you see some vulnerabilities, things that you believe, I ask people, put yourself in a position of a crook. If you were to break into your home, how would you do it? If you were to steal your car, rob somebody, take a purse. And if you, in the process of doing that assessment, find any weaknesses or vulnerabilities, that says to you, that's the thing that you need to change. Because again, when we talk about making it harder for criminals to carry out their deeds, it's called simple thing, target hardening. So make it harder for that crook to carry out his or her crime. That in turn will make us be and feel safer.
You know, you bring up the term target hardening. We hear that in maybe the national press, and we think about schools and the issues that have faced our kids across the country in recent years. Target hardening, a target could be you get out of your car. And again, we don't want to scare anybody, just to create awareness of your surroundings and your scenario. You get out of your car to go into your local supermarket.
Yeah.
The target hardening could be you.
That's right.
Not a home or a brick and mortar business.
That's right.
Definitely.
Could you address some thoughts about that?
You're right, Jeff. I mean, we all have to kind of think of ourselves as being vulnerable, whether you like it or not. And it really doesn't matter if you live in the high desert, if you live in the Inland Empire, if you live down at the beach, in the mountains. Everywhere I've lived in California, and I've lived many places, you know, there is crime. You just can't get away from it. It doesn't matter if you live in a upscale community like Beverly Hills, or if you live in a lower, you know, socioeconomic community. I won't name any, but I can think of a few. But you know, it really doesn't matter. There's crime everywhere. I mean, there are criminals that are going to attack the folks in Beverly Hills because they figure they have money, and they're going to probably try to break in and see if they can get things out of those houses because they're worth more money.
Right.
But then there are other criminals that are going to be much more opportunistic, looking for the open car door, the open window, you know, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for people that are alone as they exit a car, especially in dark areas, things like that. So by all means, you can help yourself, you know, carry pepper spray, carry some kind of an alarm that goes off that's very loud. Take a self-defense class.
That's right.
There are all kinds of things that you can do to protect yourself, and it really doesn't have to cost a lot of money, but you just have to kind of be aware and be smart.
Yep.
You know, there's certain neighborhoods that I prefer not to go in, and I'm sure we all have things like that, and that we would just say, hey, I'm not going to go here or there because I know it puts me at a little higher risk.
Mm-hmm. And I think what you're suggesting is, by asking our listeners to not only ask themselves to get involved, but to ask their family members to be even more aware than they might be, their neighbors, their friends, their coworkers. We're not encouraging people to take things into their own hands.
No,
we're encouraging people to take precautions to protect themselves, because we don't want vigilantism.
That's,
not the suggestion.
Right.
Michael, you want to address
that?
Well,
you know, under the guise of carelessness and negligence, how many listeners have opened their garage door for whatever reason, and 3 or 4 hours later, that garage door is still open, but they have not been in the garage? Now, a crook could come along, park along the street, wait 10 minutes to see if anybody goes into that garage. If they don't, that crook could run in, not looking for anything in particular, grab whatever they can, and they're out the door to take it to a pawn shop. But again, becoming a victim of that type of crime could occur because of what? Oh, I forgot to close the garage door. So simple things, like Steve is saying, they don't take a lot of time. They don't cost a lot of money. They just take some common sense to say, okay, what can I do to lower my risk of becoming a victim of crime? And again, going back to that, getting away from the complacency, believing that it can happen to you. There's a thing, a psychological term called the illusion of invulnerability. And that's where people convince themselves, oh, it won't happen to me. I don't live
right in
that neighborhood. I don't associate with those type of people. So they convince themselves it's not going to happen to me. And those are the ones that a crook is probably looking for, because most crimes, like Steve said, are crimes of opportunity. They're not calculated, well-thought-out crimes. If somebody, an opportunity presented itself, a criminal decides to take advantage of it. So again, it comes back to doing those necessary precautions, being smarter about how we go about our daily life, and asking ourselves, what are those things that we can do to minimize our risk of becoming a victim of crime? Because if we're being careless, negligent, or as I say, some cases, stupid, it just increases the likelihood we're going to be victimized.
I think most people wake up in the morning, most Californians wake up in the morning, and they don't think about crime. They don't think criminals. They're going about their day-to-day tasks, whatever you have on your plate for that day. When criminals wake up, people who want to do harm, they're thinking something differently, and we really need... Unfortunately, it's a little sad, but it's reality to think that, well, there might be another guy or another gal who's waking up and they're thinking about doing something to me or my family my home or my coworkers. And we just need to consciously be more aware of that and take responsibility ourselves so we don't become victims or people you know don't become victims. Mm-hmm. And that takes action, which is what we're encouraging our audiences to consider. You know, after they've listened to you during the show. Before we end our segment, are there any additional takeaways or thoughts that you have for our listeners?
The one thing I would encourage people to not do is people often say we need more police. And my response to that is, no, we don't. We don't need more police. And if we did, how could we afford it? You know, and what's good enough? A force of 80, 94, 112 police officers? And how do we pay for that? It's a cost that's becoming ever increasing, and it's something that most cities just can't afford. So again, so what's the translation? If we can't hire more police, we need to do more ourselves. But police have been outnumbered by the criminals forever. They will always be outnumbered. But the criminals are outnumbered by the law-abiding citizens. So if we all band together, I call it GMO. Galvanize, mobilize, and organize, and say to our communities, these are our communities, and we are going to do what we can to make them safe. It sends a message to the criminal element. You may outnumber the cops, but you don't outnumber us, and we are going to band together, and we're going to make our community safer. But it takes the listeners, it takes people like you and I, us, all banding together to saying, okay, what can I do to make my neighborhood, not the whole city, my home, my neighborhood, what can I do to make it safer? And that's what this program is all about, helping us learn to take responsibility for our personal safety and security.
Steve.
Yeah, I agree. And if you think about California, just like go back about 50 years and think about the population explosion we've witnessed in that 50 years. I mean, it makes sense that there are more criminals today than ever before just because the population is so great. You know, on the other hand, though, like Mike says, there are more of us law-abiding citizens out there. So that's why I think it's so important that if we see something, we say something. And it doesn't just apply to the big crimes. You know, you don't have to be looking for terrorism in your neighborhood or things like that. If you see somebody breaking into a car or looking suspicious in your neighborhood, you know, make the call. Let the sheriff's department figure out if the guy's doing anything wrong or not. I mean, that's what they're serving the public to do. They'll be happy to come check it out. Yeah. And I think that oftentimes people are a little reluctant to get involved. You know, it's like, oh, I don't want to call. And, you know, then maybe something could happen to me. Make the call. You know, let the professionals decide if something's up in that community, if something's up in your neighborhood or not.
And don't feel like you're becoming a pest by calling. And don't be discouraged if it takes law enforcement an hour to get there or 2 hours or if they never show up at all. You know, I think we have an obligation we got to remember, the police department works for us. The elected officials, they work for us. We don't work for them. You know, so we're taxpayers, and I think we have every right to say, I see something suspicious, unusual, abnormal, out of the ordinary by my standards. And therefore, I know my neighborhood. I'm going to call this in. I've done it many times. Mm-hmm. And I think, like Steve was saying, people just have to feel comfortable enough and confident enough to say, doggone it, this is my neighborhood. And
be
I'm going to do whatever I can to make it safe.
And be consciously aware and help yourself and help your fellow citizens.
That's right.
And, you know, if they do show up late, you know, as much information as you can gather, if you have a license plate, a description of the person, all of those things are going to help them if something did happen.
And a final thought, being the publisher of a major newspaper, one of the things that the Daily Press will be doing that any citizen who is listening to this segment today can do, you're going to be putting a tip of the day on during the month of October, and people can go to vvdailypress.com. Let me repeat that, dailypress.com and look for that tip of the day. Mm-hmm. And even if somebody asks you, well, what can I do? Go and find that tip and pass it off to friends. Use social media positively to get that message out.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we're excited to work with Mike's group. I think what he's done has been great for the community. We've worked with the sheriff's department closely. We've worked with the city officials closely. We've had these a couple of public forums now on crime, mm-hmm. and we're going to keep doing things like that because we believe it is a big issue in the community,
yeah.
and we want people to become safer and to feel safer and to realize that, you know, this isn't a crime-ridden community, you know, regardless of what people may say or try to throw out there.
Yeah. And those tips will be generic tips, so it doesn't matter where you live.
Anywhere.
You can apply that to your daily life, your home, your business.
And if you have family across the United States, our audiences can send those to family members and friends anywhere in the United States, or with today's technology, as Steve was pointing out, anywhere.
That's right.
Our very special guests today, again, have been Steve Hunt. He's the president and publisher of the Daily Press newspaper, which services the Victor Valley Geographic resident, and Michael Stevens, who is the coordinator and founder of Citizens for a Safer Community Coalition and spearheading the effort to let so many communities know about the fact that October is Crime Prevention Month and become engaged.
Yes.
Thank you, gentlemen, for joining
thanks
us.
Thanks for having us, Jeff.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.